Every encounter, every story, when Jesus met someone, Jesus had insight into what they needed. Oftentimes they spoke their need and he would ask them questions and he would engage them in a conversation, maybe sometimes just one or two or three or four words, not always a long conversation. But when I read the conversations of Jesus, it's amazing to me how Jesus so quickly understands what someone needs. Somehow he's able to perceive their circumstances, and for Jesus, every person's unique. No matter what their story is, what their past is, why they are where they're at that particular moment, Jesus has something to say to them to help them and meet their needs. I also think that in Jesus' conversations, he had an amazing way to get to the very heart of whatever the problem might have been that someone had. He had amazing insight. He was the Son of God, and we know that somehow when he came to the earth and he took on humanity, he still is fully God and somehow has that total knowledge of who we are. But more than that, he also experienced life as we do, and so he understands us deeply. In a way, Jesus seemed like he's able to draw out a response of people and insight into what they had, and he knew what they needed. Last week in our story, it was an encounter that Jesus had with a man named Nicodemus. In the case of Nicodemus, Nicodemus was kind of a very well-known man. He was well-respected. In fact, he was a religious leader and probably known for his leadership and his experience and his integrity. And Nicodemus was known by many in Jerusalem for his knowledge and his understanding of the things of God. Yet Nicodemus had a deep need. And so when he came to Jesus at night, Jesus was able very quickly to see the need inside of this man. He's able to look at every need and know who we are and what we need. Whether Nicodemus or us, Jesus has insight into our hearts and our lives. Our story today comes from another side of Jewish humanity. In this case, a woman drawing water from an old well, a well from the time of Jacob. Her story is also in the gospel in John chapter 4. I'm just going to read a couple verses of the beginning of the story as we look at Jesus' conversation with this woman. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord heard of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said, "Will you give me water?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." I'd like to invite you for a few moments to imagine that you're at the well of Jacob. Jacob's well had a long history, and the story behind it, if you can imagine being there and just knowing about who had been there, that long, long ago it had been a place that a man named Jacob had come and settled and decided to raise his family. That place of Jacob's well had been a place then for many, many, many generations had stopped there to quench their thirst. It was near the town of Sychar, the Old Testament town of Shechem. But it was in Samaria. Still, many tensions between the Jews and the Samaritans, and Samaria was not a place that people that lived in Galilee or lived in Judea or Jerusalem often went to, and there just wasn't a lot of good feelings between them. And so most of the time, Samaritans avoided the Jews, and the Jews avoided the Samaritans, and though they weren't at open war during this time, there was a strong feeling among them that they just really didn't like each other. And they didn't want to associate with each other. And so as much as possible, they just kind of avoided each other. You know, they were just people that they didn't need to live life with. They didn't need to see. They didn't need to talk to. They didn't need to be around. And they certainly didn't have any reason and desire to look each other in the eye and get to know them more. And so rather than to have those unpleasantries and be around the Samaritans, the Jews did their best to go another way. Well, it was there at Jacob's well at about noon when Jesus, his disciples had stopped by. The disciples had gone into town to get food, and so there was just Jesus there that day. It was noon, and it was on that day that Jesus had another encounter, a new encounter. He had a new opportunity to meet someone and to talk to them. What may seem to us when we read the story is to be kind of a random, unplanned event, Jesus turned into a significant day in the life of someone who had a deep need. In many ways, you could say of this woman of the well of Samaria that she was alone. She was alone probably in more than one way. When you read between the lines, and of course we don't know all the details of her life, but we read somewhat about her life and we realize that in order for Jesus to engage in this conversation with her, he would have had to step across quite a few lines that were not customary for a man like Jesus, a rabbi, a Jewish rabbi at that to do. But Jesus was willing to do that. For example, it was not customary for a Jewish rabbi to engage in conversation with a woman alone. That was just not what a rabbi did. That's not who the Jews were. And this even more awkward, it could have been, she was a Samaritan woman. Of course, Jesus was in Samaria, and you would expect that he would see a Samaritan woman. But the fact that he engaged her in conversation would have been very unusual. Jesus was out of his element in passing through Samaria, many would think, and he had to go through Samaria, and it wouldn't take that long to get through Samaria, but here he was, and he meets this woman who's alone, a Samaritan woman, and then what's more, he somehow knows, maybe he's heard the stories of her life. I mean, the circumstances of her life are pretty uncommon. She's been married 5 times, and maybe her reputation is pretty well known, and Jesus may have known that from just hearing that before. However, he knew it and perceived it. He also knew that she was a divorced woman. He knew about her life. She was Samaritan. She was alone, and Jesus still takes the time to engage her. It was likely a fairly unusual story, and the indications of the story are that she had lived a very difficult life, and she was alone here at the well in the middle of the day, which in itself, I've read at least, could be seemingly unnormal for one thing. Generally, the women of Judea came together to the well. They also usually came in the morning or the evening. And the watering of the flocks and others were done during the day by the men. So the fact that she was alone and she's at the well in the middle of the day would just tell you that she was alone. And she was probably not in a great connected relationship with all the people that would have known who she was. But you know, of all those things, Jesus doesn't stop him at all from stopping and talking to her. Have you ever felt like you might be alone, even either by yourself or in a crowd, and you're carrying your jar, and really you're just feeling like I'm the only one out there like me? No one else can understand who I am or what I've been through or what my life is like. No one can. Maybe you might even feel that God can't understand your life. But the truth is God does understand our lives, every one of us, as he did this woman. She also was a very needy woman, and Jesus would have known that and picked up on that very quickly. He would have seen her needs, but he doesn't avoid her. Jesus saw her and treated her with such kindness and respect. He used words that were helpful to her to be able to talk about her life and her needs. He didn't use words of judgment and confrontation and didn't use words that would have struck to the core of her feeling of shame or if there was that inside of her. But in Jesus, he used kindness and respect. Jesus seemed like he always was looking for a way to help someone, maybe to help him up, maybe to help him out, maybe to help him through. But Jesus is always looking for a way in his conversations and his encounters to meet the needs of people. Somehow he already knew her, her life, her problems, and he saw in her a precious soul, and he reached out in kindness. One thing you can count on from Jesus in your life is whatever your need is, he will be looking to reach out to you in kindness and love and the amazing agape, infinite love of God to hear your heart and know what your need is and to show care for you. That's how Jesus sees people. That's how he sees people in these encounters that we have looked at and are looking at. For Jesus, no one is invisible to him. I believe that Jesus, incredibly the Son of God and the amazing person that Jesus is, he has a way that when he sees someone, no matter who they are, he doesn't see them as a nameless, faceless identity, but he sees in them potential. He sees in them the beauty of made in God's image. He sees in them what plan God has for them. And he sees every person. Nobody goes by Jesus without him noticing and seeing who they are. He knows no invisible people. Psalm chapter 130 says at the end of that chapter, he knows our frame. He knows our frame. That means that Jesus knows all about who we are, even before we even would think that we could tell him. He already knows who we are. He knew the woman at the well of Samaria, and he cared deeply. At district assembly a week and a half ago, the district superintendent used a phrase, and he kind of gave it to us as a district and wanted us to think about that, and that's this phrase right here, and I wanted to mention it this morning, no invisible people, and how God calls us in the church to look at people that way. That we see people. No matter if the world doesn't see them or care about them or take the time to stop and show kindness and love to them, God's people ought to be those that see no invisible people. When we see people, we see them through eyes of love and kindness and compassion and wanting to reach out to them with God's love, to draw them to God's love and God's truth and God's spirit. No invisible people. I hope that our church and I hope that us as a church family would have that heart and attitude toward people. When you see people in your life, in your circle of influence, in your neighborhood, in the grocery line, maybe family members that might be a little bit out there, maybe people that you don't normally take the time to rub shoulders with, and people that you might just kind of naturally go right on by and would probably not be inclined to stop and reach out to them in love. Maybe even like the Samaritans and the Jews and how life for you, they're just people that we don't really connect to and really care to associate with. And they're just not enough like us that we're comfortable with that. But yet, what does Jesus do? He stops and he sees no invisible people. And the challenge for us and for me and for all of us who are Christ followers to be like Jesus and see people the way that Jesus did. What a great reminder of watching for people that we might otherwise miss, we might otherwise not have time for, we might otherwise already maybe even have kind of a judgmental spirit about that. They're not worth it. We can't make a difference in their life. We don't have enough in common. They would never respond to me reaching out to them. I think we might be amazed sometimes at people that we go right on by, and we might be surprised if we took the time to show love and care to the people that are kind of outside of our normal circle of influence. And we took time to look them in the eye and to hear their heart and to show care for them, how much it could mean for them and how it could put them on a path toward Jesus. Incredible what happened to this woman. Maybe people that we don't normally rub shoulders with. Well, Jesus encounters, speaks to me in that way. What seems like a random encounter of Jesus, Jesus uses for an incredible life-changing day. And here at the Well of Samaria, Jesus encounters someone that, as far as we know, there was no plan for this. It seems like a random thing, but here Jesus is, and here this woman is. He saw someone broken and searching. He saw someone that he either knew ahead of time, or as she told the story, he perceived she knew that he knew that she had a rough life. He probably knew that she was confused about a lot of things. She was hurting. Again, we're reading between the lines and don't know exactly what happened. We know that she had five husbands, and the man she was with was not her husband. We know that there had to be an emptiness inside of her, maybe a desperation. Who knows the circumstances? It may be that she had quite a reputation. It's quite possible. There was a Jewish, in the Jewish writings, not in the Old Testament, but the Jewish writings said that a woman could be married two or at the most three times. Most Jews would have known that and would have heard that. And so I'm sure that those that knew her life knew that she was unique. And it's my guess it wasn't very easy for her. But Jesus understood. And he had time to stop what he was doing and offer her the gift of life. I'm thinking, wow, Jesus, these stories that we read about Jesus and how powerful they are, of who Jesus is and the nature of God. But I'm also reminded of this same Jesus and where he is today. What the Bible tells us about Jesus now, we know he's not with us in the sense of a bodily presence. Wonder, what about this Jesus who loved people so much? He's not here. I won't tell you where he is. And it was in our Wednesday night prayer meeting Bible study of where Jesus is today. Romans chapter 8, verse 34 says, Christ Jesus who died, more than that, who is raised to life. I want you to see if you have an emptiness in your life today. I want you to see where Jesus is. He's at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Interceding for you. That's who Jesus is, with great love and compassion. He's an amazing God. He's watching you and me. He knows your need today. Jesus knew that the woman had a deep need. I don't think it really was that important what all her circumstances were. But he knew that she needed truth. He knew that she needed meaning. He probably knew that she needed to let go of her past, come to terms with her past, or turn from her past, whatever the circumstances were. And he knew that she needed to choose faith. He knew that she was thirsty for for truth. And so Jesus simply invited her to respond to the living water, the power of God to change her life, the power of God to deal with the past. She somewhere along the way apparently had heard of the Messiah. She had heard the term, maybe knew a lot of the scriptures, I don't know, but she had heard of the Messiah, and now she was meeting him face to face. And if I understand right, this is the first time and the only time directly in the gospel where Jesus said to someone he was the Messiah. Let me read on in verse 25. The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." Jesus said to her, "I am the Messiah. I can give you living water. I can change your life." She had been searching in the wrong places, maybe asking the wrong questions, maybe asking the wrong people. But Jesus offered her living water, something pure and clean and life-giving, something true, something to help us to put our past behind us. God was giving something to this woman to say to her, no matter what your past was, no matter what all those details are, no matter what all those circumstances are, I offer you living hope and water and truth. I'm thankful to say the rest of the story, I believe she got it. At least we know that she had a great influence. We know from here a little bit what happened, just a little bit of what happened to her. We know that she believed and she responded. She accepted. It became a part of her life and her story and her future. And then she had this great testimony and she began to tell the people in her life about it. She went back into town, it says, at the end of the chapter, and told many of the Samaritans. Verse 39, it says, many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with him, and he stayed two more days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." What a powerful testimony she had, that in her life of struggles, that she heard the voice of Jesus who loved her so much, and she responded to him. I'm wondering this morning if there might be someone who needs to respond to that Jesus who is so full of care and understanding and love and compassion. I just want you to know that Jesus knocks at the door. If any man knocks at the door, he says he'll come and he'll open the door and allow and have fellowship with us. I'm wondering this morning if anybody says, "Yes, I need that Jesus. I can believe in him. I can believe in the living water." I want to invite you to know that, and to the church today, to see the power of a loving God and how that he doesn't see, he sees no invisible people. He understands their needs and he knows who they are. Would you stand as we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the story. Thank you for Jesus and his great love and compassion. Thank you for the power of your words, Jesus. Thank you for the power of your example. Thank you that you speak the truth in love to us. Thank you for this story of this woman who you showed great care for and her life was changed. She became a great witness for you. God, I pray that we would understand that being a Christian means making a personal decision to believe you, to trust in you, to ask you to forgive us for our sins, to turn away from them, and to walk with you. I pray, God, that we would see how simple, but how challenging that step of faith might be, that, God, we can reach out and step across that divide and say, Jesus, I believe in you. I pray that there would be believing faith. I pray that each one that's here today would say, Jesus, I take that step. I ask you to forgive me and come into my heart and into my life, I pray. God, help us to know that today is the day that we can respond to you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.